here at Beeston Free Church. We're really glad to see you here tonight. We're really grateful for you taking time out of your Christmas preparations to come and celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ with us this evening. Just to say that if you're wanting a service on Christmas Day and you haven't got another church family to go to, then we'll be meeting here again at 10:30 on Christmas Day morning, and you'd be really welcome to join with us. It'll be a fairly short service, just 45 minutes or so, and you'd be really welcome to come back. After our time of carol singing tonight, there's going to be refreshments. We have about 3 million mince pies out the back, so we'd really appreciate you to stay afterwards, eat some of those mince pies with us, have some refreshments, and those will be served out in the back hall. Well, as we begin our time tonight, let me begin for us by praying. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we come together this evening to celebrate the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the rich amount of gifts you give to us. We thank you that you give us so many generous tokens of your love and your favour. We thank you most of all that you sent your Son into the world to be God with us. And as we come to celebrate his birth this evening, we pray that you give us real hearts of thankfulness for that, a real sense of appreciation for that great gift, and real understanding of what it means for us that Jesus came to be God with us. We pray now for your presence with us, and we look to you for your blessing as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Once in royal David's city stood a lonely car. first reading is taken from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 5 and verses 2 to 4, and you can follow on the screen. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. His origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
Oh, The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. Our next reading is taken from Matthew 1, and you can follow along on the screen above. Starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and she gave him the name Jesus.
Father, thank you for this special time of year where we can remember Jesus coming into this world as a baby. We are amazed by his humble birth in a stable, and we thank you for your great plan of rescue that Jesus brings. We are grateful for all the good things you give us and for fun times at Christmas. We are aware that Christmas can be a lonely and painful time for some, and we pray that you will give them peace and hope. As we think about our wider world, we remember a lot of people who are troubled. We pray for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, caring for the sick, or coming to terms with awful tragedies that have taken place. Please bring comfort to all affected by painful suffering and help them to feel your presence at this time. Finally, we pray for ourselves this Christmas that we would not leave the baby in the manger, but trust him as our King. Amen.
Save the lost. He finds so brave. He finds so.
Reading, we return to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, commencing at verse 1. Hear these words. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Readings from Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, I don't know if you've heard about the Travelodge Christmas tradition, For the past 6 years, they've been offering a free room to any couples called Mary and Joseph during the 12 days of Christmas. And that's to make up for the fact that the hotel industry had no rooms left on Christmas Eve 2,000 years ago. Apparently, today's Mary and Joseph can stay at any one of 500 Travel Lodge hotels spread throughout the UK. I'm not on commission for them. But apparently, the spacious family room can certainly cater for a baby in a manger, and the free car parking space will be provided for the couple's donkey. The free room is available from Christmas Eve through to the 12th night, January the 6th. And apparently, every year, they have, on average, about 30 couples who take up this offer of the free room. Now, I should say, I haven't been able to find out this year that the offer is definitely applying. So if there are any couples in tonight called Mary and Joseph, you're just going to have to check out for yourself whether the offer is still running this year. I guess it's one of the details of the nativity story that we know well, that there was no room at the inn. We've all been to and seen the nativity plays with the innkeeper who has to turn the couple away. I read the story recently of one nativity play where the school thug was given the role of the innkeeper. The hope was that it might improve his self-esteem, that it might improve his social relationships. But during the rehearsals, he remained silent. He refused to say any of the lines that he'd been given. And the teachers pretty despaired of him, of getting him to say anything. Well, the day of the performance came round and Joseph and Mary arrived looking for a room. And much to the teacher's surprise, the innkeeper finally found his voice and he said in a loud voice, "Folks like you leave it to last minute, make me sick." And he told them to clear off. I guess the poor innkeeper normally gets bad press. When we think of the innkeeper, we've got a kind of combination of Alan Sugar and Craig Revel Horwood in our minds. That's the sort of image we have. We think of him as mean and moody, certainly no heart for this poor, heavily pregnant woman who's travelled for miles and just wants somewhere to stay. Actually, I don't know if you noticed in the reading earlier that there's actually no mention of an innkeeper at all. So it's possible the poor maligned innkeeper didn't actually even exist. But all we're told was that there was no room. But here's the question. Why was there no room? Can we have the next slide, please? Thank you. One boy was asked that question, why was there no room? And his reply was, well, it's always busy at Christmas. It's always hard to find somewhere to stay. And although he was a bit misplaced in his thinking, it was a busy time in Bethlehem that particular night. There was a census on in the Roman Empire, and people were flooding into the city from all over the place to register. So was it that Joseph and Mary just didn't book ahead? That Joseph took a flyer on there being a room, and he really ought to have called on his mobile and made a reservation? Well, he couldn't do that, of course, but could they at least have planned things a little better? Did they arrive too late in the day when all the best rooms were gone? Were the roads always jammed like they are around the holiday season? Well, there's nothing to say in the story that it was their fault. There just was no room. And so Jesus ends up born outside. We think there was probably a stable, but the Bible doesn't even definitely say that. It is likely the birth took place surrounded by animals because Jesus ends up in a feeding trough. And there was probably nobody else there, just Mary and Joseph. Mary is the one who wraps the baby herself in a cloth. There's no midwife on hand to take the temperature or wrap the baby up snug for her. It's just pretty unglamorous, isn't it? It's unspectacular. It's just so down to earth. It's smelly and stinky, isn't it? It's pretty pitiful, really. But why? Why was Jesus' birth like that? We can't just say it was bad luck, there was no room. Because Jesus was the baby who was promised years and years before. Our first reading said that this promised child was going to be born in Bethlehem. And God acts to make sure that happens. There is a census, and that means Joseph and Mary must be in Bethlehem the night he's born. The Roman emperor had his own reasons for the census, but God's reason was to make sure Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And if God arranged all of that, then surely he could have made sure there was a room when they got to Bethlehem, couldn't he? Yes, absolutely he could. It wasn't just a kind of missing detail that God overlooked. It wasn't an accident that there was no room for the birth of God's Son. It was all part of God's plan. Jesus had to be born out in the cold, in pitiful, vulnerable circumstances even. Well, why is that the case? Why was there no room? Well, because when Jesus is born, he is God's Son. He is God clothing himself in our skin and bone. He is God entering our world. Can we have the next slide, please? Colonel James Irwin was one of the first men to walk on the moon, but he once said, "The greatest miracle is not that man stood on the moon, it is that God came and stood on the earth." So many of us, I think today that if there is a God, then he must be distant and remote, and we couldn't possibly know him or have anything to do with him. He can't interact with us, surely. He can't be personal. But, you know, the coming of Jesus is God coming near. It's God engaging with us. It's showing that he isn't unknowable, but that he wants to know us. He wants to encounter us. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I think that's wonderfully comforting at this Christmas time. Because whether or not you would call yourself religious tonight, whether or not you would say you were a Christian, your heart aches for something more, for something beyond. You know, this Christmas, we're going to spend our time filling our lives up, aren't we? We're going to fill our stomachs up with turkey and Christmas pudding. We're going to fill up our trees with Christmas decorations. We'll fill our stockings up full of presents. Our TV schedules are full of the best films and the Christmas specials. We'll fill our time with friends and family and parties and Christmas treats, filling and filling and filling. And those are great things. Those are wonderful things for us to enjoy at this time of year. But as we fill our lives and our hearts with exciting good things, with the very best that the world can offer us, we know, don't we? We know, if we're really honest, that the deeper emptiness of our lives is not filled. Christmas will come and go, and the flatness of January and February will hit, and we'll be booking our summer holidays so that there's something else to look forward to in the future. But, you know, if we find that nothing in this world can really fill our hearts and satisfy us, doesn't that show us that we were made for something beyond this world? Made to know a God who loves us, who designed us, and who knows what's best for us. And a God who is big enough to become small and to live among us. Tonight, God wants you to know him. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your background, whatever your past has been. You see, Jesus was born into the ordinary, into the simplicity, into the dirt. And that's because God wants you to know that the ordinary people, the little people like you and me, are those he wants to know and those he wants to relate to. But you know, there's something more. Because Jesus coming into the ordinary doesn't just show us that God wants to be known by everyday people, by the little people like us. It tackles an even deeper issue. It tackles the fact that we've got no room for God. Can we have the next slide up? And the one after, thank you. I think my favourite Christmas film has got to be a bit of a close call between Elf and A Muppet's Christmas Carol. But I think, you know, the Muppets still get it. If you've not seen it, it's Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol. And it's the change of the miserly Ebenezer Scrooge, who goes from bar humbug and Christmas as an excuse to not work, to celebrating Christmas all year round. And when we think about this particular film, what's not to love about the film? There are great songs. There are Muppets. There's Tiny Tim. God bless us, everyone. And the heartwarming transformation of Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, I guess there's nobody in the room who's really as mean as Ebenezer Scrooge. Don't want any wives to turn and look at their husbands at this point. But can I just talk honestly for a moment? We may not be as mean as Scrooge, but each of our hearts needs a transformation, doesn't it? Because if we're really honest with ourselves, we've all lived for ourselves. We've had no room for others. And deeper than that, we've had no room for God either. We've enjoyed the very best that God can give us, all the things that you love best about life, but you shut the door to him. And that's madness, really, isn't it? Because we're created to know him. And because ignoring God and shutting him out of our lives is a tragic rebellion. When your little Johnny opens their present from Grandma on Christmas morning, if they don't volunteer it themselves, you'll get them to say thank you, won't you? Because we know that people should be appreciated and valued. But we've taken generous gifts from God without a thank you, without the acknowledgement that it's God we're dependent on every second of every hour of every day, and we've shut him out. And if we've shut God out, then God in his justice must shut us out as well. No room for us in his heaven, no place for us. But you know, the great news of Christmas is this, that God isn't just only just, but he's loving as well. He wants us in, despite how we've treated him. So instead of excluding us, instead of leaving us out in the cold, Jesus came to experience that for us, to be shut out for us. Which is all the more surprising, really, because Jesus' birth was the most significant birth in history. Take a look at the picture on the screen. When William and Kate have their baby next year, when the press report that to us, it will almost certainly be on the front pages, won't it? Because this baby will be born into royalty. A prince or a princess, we're going to hear about it in the news for days. But Jesus was the Prince of Princes and the King of Kings and the Royal Son of Heaven. And if anybody should have had the best care and the best room and the best attention, then it was him. But God instead sent Jesus into poverty, into vulnerability for us, because our God wants us back in. And so that begins in his birth. There's no room at the inn. And it continues into his life. So he once said, I have no place to lay my head. And his life ended in being excluded as well. Because the story that begins with a wooden cradle ends with a wooden cross. You see, there was no room for Jesus in his birth, but also no room in his death. At the age of 33, outside the city walls, Jesus, the Son of God, was counted among the criminals, treated as the worst of men, even though those who knew him best said that there was no wrong in him at all. And as he died, Jesus was excluded, cut off from his heavenly Father, dying for us, dying instead of us, bearing the consequences of us saying, God, I've got no room for you. Jesus was there paying our debt to God. He was rejected. He was turned away. He was refused so that we might be welcomed. You see, no room is no accident. It's the beginning of God's plan to bring us out of the cold and to bring us back into relationship with him again. You see, today, I don't want you to leave with a kind of sense of outrage that nobody gave the pregnant Mary a room to stay in. And I don't really want you to leave with a sense of pity that as you think about Joseph and Mary and Jesus out in the cold, I long for you instead to leave with a sense of deep gratitude that God's plan was for Jesus to begin a life of rejection and suffering and vulnerability for us. That there was no room for Jesus so that there might be room for us. So that God might welcome you and me back. I'd love you at this Christmas to see what God has done for you because he wants to welcome you back home. Well, we're going to bring our carol service to an end now by singing together our final carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But let me just remind you that we're going to be serving refreshments immediately afterwards, and we'd love for you to stay around and chat and make the most of those refreshments. But if you can feel that maybe you've got questions about Jesus, maybe you can feel that God's just been speaking to you tonight, then I'm going to be around just in the entrance hall afterwards. And I'd love to chat with you more if you've got questions or you'd like to find out what it means to no longer have God shut out of your life. So do come and speak to me afterwards, and it'd be great to have a chance to speak. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for coming this evening. There's lots of free literature just out in the foyer as you leave, and a book we're particularly giving away through this Christmas season is a book called The Christmas Thingamabob. I'll let you find out by taking one and seeing what's in it, what the thingamabob is, but it will talk about who Jesus is and why he came, and if you're a guest here, we'd be really glad for you to take one of those with you as you leave. But let me close our time now in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you so much that you gave your Son to this earth, that he was veiled in flesh, but we saw that he was your Son. We thank you not just for his miraculous birth, but for his perfect life, the demonstration of the fact that he was your Son in all that he did and all that he said. We thank you supremely that he was the man who was born to die. We thank you that he gave himself for us. We thank you that he rose again, and we thank you that this celebration of Christmas finds its culmination in the celebration of Easter too. And we're so grateful that we can give you thanks tonight for our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that your peace and favour might rest upon us. We thank you for your presence with us this evening, and we ask that we might know your blessing as we go back to our homes and enjoy this Christmas season. And we pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.